You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm Study Center in upstate New York. You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. John Egerton in Broadcasting and Cable reports that the Federal Communications Commission unanimously decided to let radio and TV outlets post contest information online if they choose, rather than having to read sometimes lengthy text with fast-talking announcing on air. The change was announced at the FCC's September 17th meeting, and broadcasters still must provide timely and accurate information about contests, periodically announcing a web address on air for more information, and creating a tab or link on the homepage to any contest information. The FCC has long regulated broadcast contests to eliminate consumer fraud. Quote, "We are moving old concepts to new realities," unquote, said FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler. You can read that full story in Broadcasting and Cable. A July 16, 2015 Voice of America press release quoted new Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari saying, quote, "My daily life starts at 6 a.m. by dedicating 30 minutes to listening to Voice of America. I am an avid listener of VOA because you are fair, professional, and balanced, which all add up to the fact that you are a station I love to fear," unquote. The British Broadcasting Corporation wants to get back to those glory days of providing, quote, "fair, professional, and balanced," unquote, reports to regimes around the globe that do not want to hear such tales. Faced with $1 billion in budget cuts from a conservative government, the BBC now wants to expand its worldwide services, specifically targeting listeners in countries with little free media. Quote, arguing that it had a mission to uphold the values of democracy and liberty, the corporation said it would set up new shortwave services to broadcast into those countries with a deficit of both, namely North Korea, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. It will boost its digital presence in Russia, where it may set up a satellite television channel and beef up its Arabic service, unquote, The Economist reported. The BBC's budget is also being cut by £240 million a year in costs being transferred from the Foreign Office to the radio service last year, a nod that what once was propaganda is now more like journalism. But not all are happy about the budget battle at the BBC. Gary D. Ronsley, professor of public diplomacy at Absworth University, writes in the USC Center for Public Diplomacy blog, quote, "In announcing the creation of a satellite TV service for Russian speakers and a daily radio news program for North Korea, the director general of the BBC, Tony Hall, is in danger of crossing the fine line between public diplomacy and propaganda," unquote. Ronsley says Hall is wrong to claim the BBC has a mission to uphold liberty. Quote, "The BBC World Service has one commitment only, to provide timely, impartial, and accurate news and information for its listeners around the world. The BBC is not an instrument of Cold War politics, and it is not a mechanism for the promotion of democracy in any area of the world. It is a model of journalism that is the envy of news broadcasters across the globe," unquote. The Fermi paradox, thought up by physicists Enrico Fermi and Michael H. Hart, is the apparent contradiction between the high probability of the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations and the lack of any evidence for such civilizations. Now, Edward Snowden, the man who leaked evidence that the United States has been trawling the phone records of Americans for years, may have an answer to the Fermi paradox in computer encryption. On celebrity astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk audio show this week, Snowden suggested that a need to keep communication secure could mean that alien signals are simply too well encrypted to be distinguished from background noise.
Let's say all societies that have open communications, they have communications over the air under the ground, eventually discover that they need to encrypt their communications to protect them. So if you have an alien civilization trying to listen for other civilizations, or our civilization trying to listen for aliens, there's only one small period in the development of their society when all of their communications will be sent via the most primitive and most unprotected means. So when we think about everything that we're hearing through our satellites or everything that they're hearing from our civilization, if there are indeed aliens out there, all of their communications are encrypted by default. So what we are hearing that's actually an alien television show or, you know, a phone call or, you know, a message between their planet and their own GPS constellation, whatever it happens to be, is indistinguishable to us from cosmic microwave background radiation.
So, but they wouldn't necessarily, you're assuming that they have the same security issues that we have here on Earth.
Maybe they're politically a little bit more enlightened.
Running for the Republican nomination for president, so far Donald Trump has made very few policy proposals and almost none having to do with communications policy. But on September 23rd, Trump made a proposal that would change the Federal Communications Commission in a major way. His proposal was for the FCC to regulate speech on cable television. Currently, the FCC regulates speech over the airwaves, with vulgar language relegated to safe harbor between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. local time when children are asleep. But cable television does not use the public airwaves directly to get signals to the public. So the FCC did not tell Comedy Central to bleep Jon Stewart's profanity. They did that sometimes on their own so advertisers would not be upset. Of course, Trump's proposal didn't come in a speech announcing a new idea, but in a veiled threat on Twitter. Trump is currently boycotting Fox News, and September 23rd, National Review editor Rich Lowry appeared on the channel and saying how candidate Carly Fiorina beat up on Trump at last week's Republican presidential debate, said, quote, "Let's be honest, Carly cut his balls off with the precision of a surgeon, and he knows it," unquote, on the Kelly file. Trump fired back soon after on Twitter with, quote, "Incompetent at Rich Lowry lost it tonight on at Fox News. He should not be allowed on TV and the FCC should fine him," unquote. So perhaps it was not a policy proposal, but the off-the-cuff ramblings of someone who didn't know what they were talking about. We report, you decide. This is Tom Rowe, and you're listening to This Week in Radio News. Headlines about the airwaves. They were going on a radio secret history. We're going to trace the airwave activity in the North Sea of Britain from World War II through today. Involves people declaring their own country, pirate radio, kidnapping, and more. In our secret radio history, we head back to World War II. Thank you. February 11th, 1942, Britain launched HM Fort Ruffs, one of several World War II installations designed by Guy Mansell, known collectively as His Majesty's Forts, or Mansell Sea Forts. Off the coast of England and in international waters, the 4,500-ton artificial naval installation hosted anti-aircraft weapons, trying to shoot down planes before they could reach the shores of Britain. You could see the fort, it was so large, from Britain, and during World War II, the fort was occupied by 150 to 300 Royal Navy personnel, and there were three other forts too, so several thousand men out in the water trying to protect Britain from Nazi aircraft, sending radio waves back and forth to London. But 20 years after World War II ended, the Navy finally abandoned the forts, and that was in the mid-60s, as pirate radio activity was really getting underway in Britain. Reports differ, but starting in 1965, reports were that pirate Jack Moore and his daughter Jane from Wonderful Radio London...
Wonderful Radio London...
pirate station featured on the Who Sell Out album, but then reports from Wikipedia and elsewhere indicate that different pirate radio operators took over the fort different times in 1965 and 66, including Paddy Roy Bates, who operated Radio Essex, and Ronan O'Rahilly, who operated Radio Caroline. Both occupied Fort Ruffs at different points in 1966, with Wikipedia reporting that at one point in 1967, O'Rahilly attempted to storm the fort, but Roy Bates defended the fort with guns and petrol bombs. Putting the British Royal Marines on alert, but Roy Bates refused to surrender to British authorities, and instead on September 2nd, 1967, founded the Principality of Sealand. Now, the Principality of Sealand is an unrecognized micronation on the Rough Tower in the North Sea of England, 7.5 miles off the coast from Suffolk, England. Since 1967, it's been occupied by the family and associates of Paddy Roy Bates, who has now claimed it as an independent sovereign state. He attempted to establish Sealand as a nation state in 1975 with the writing of a national constitution and the establishment of other national symbols, according to Wikipedia. But so far, Sealand has not been officially recognized by any established sovereign state, and the United Nations actually addressed the issue roughly in 1994 in the Convention on the Law of the Sea, saying that, quote, artificial islands, installations, and structures do not possess the status of islands. They have no territorial sea of their own, and their presence does not affect the delimitation of the territorial sea, the exclusive economic zone of the continental shelf, unquote. August 1978, Alexander Achenbach, who calls himself the Prime Minister of Sealand, hired several German and Dutch mercenaries to attack Sealand while Bates and his wife were in England. They stormed the platform with speedboats, jet skis, and helicopters, and took Bates' son Michael hostage. But Michael Bates was able to retake Sealand and capture Achenbach and the mercenaries using weapons stashed inside the platform. Then he charged Achenbach, a German lawyer who held a Sealand passport, with treason against Sealand and held him for $35,000 ransom. The governments of the Netherlands, Austria, and Germany petitioned the British government for his release, but the United Kingdom refused to act, and then Germany sent a diplomat from its London embassy to Sealand to negotiate Achenbach's release. Eventually, Roy Bates relented after weeks of negotiations, but then claimed that the German diplomat's visit was a de facto recognition of Sealand by Germany, that by showing up in Sealand as an ambassador of Germany was a recognition of the state by another state. And Achenbach, after his release, started his own Sealand rebel government, or Sealandic rebel government, in Germany, which his appointed successor Johannes Seeger continues today. In his later years, Roy Bates left the island and moved back to England, where his son stayed on Sealand as his successor. Roy Bates died October 9th, 2012, after several years of Alzheimer's disease, and his son Michael rules Sealand today. At one point in 1987, during this whole business, the United Kingdom extended its territorial waters from 3 miles to 12 miles, which means that Sealand now sits within British waters. At first, it was in international waters, but the change in the law made it is now within the United Kingdom. So the legal battle between Sealand and Britain continues to this day. Of course, tying this all into radio history with the pirate radio activity there in the 1960s, Negative Land, Radio Art Pranksters, named their record label Sealand, S-E-E-L-A-N-D. The location in the North Sea is named Sealand, C-E-A-L-A-N-D. This has been the secret history of Sealand in the North Sea of Britain. Now let's hear a little Negative Land, shall we, on This Week in Radio News.
You're the Pepsi generation. Open it. Open it. Open it, I tell you. Pepsi, I need a Pepsi, I need a Pepsi, I need a Pepsi today. Pepsi.
Open it.
I need a Pepsi. I need a Pepsi right away.
Open it.
Pepsi, Pepsi today. Pepsi, Pepsi today.
I don't know what else to say, but I need a Pepsi. Need a Pepsi. Need a Pepsi today. I need a Pepsi. I need a Pepsi. I need a Pepsi right away.
Open it, I tell you.
Play basketball. I can open cola at all. Show my brand loyalty to feel good about me. Don't know what else to say.
Open it.
Pepsi, 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 Pepsi today.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I need Pepsi sometimes, and I don't know why. There's a voice inside my head that makes me go out and buy. I buy a Pepsi, buy a Pepsi after drinking some beer. Buy a Pepsi, buy a Pepsi, buy a Pepsi after beating up queers. Pepsi, Pepsi after beating up queers.
Buy Pepsi after drinking some beer. Pepsi, I need Pepsi right away.
We might as well come right out with it.
Pepsi sometime.
All flavors have that happy face.
And I don't know why.
Except sarsaparilla. We haven't quite hit that happy, carefree note in sarsaparilla.
There you go, loose inside my head.
Now please don't misunderstand
me. I need a Pepsi.
Our sarsaparilla is absolutely dependable.
I need a Pepsi today.
It's trustworthy. It's loyal.
Right away.
And many fine, upstanding citizens love it.
Pepsi, a really good mix of Pepsi.
But it just isn't what we call happy.
Pepsi, a really good mix of Pepsi. Pepsi today.
You take our orange, it's absolutely rollicking.
Fountain Pepsi.
Our lemon is almost giggling.
Maybe a 12-ounce Pepsi.
Our black cherry and black raspberry are so bubbling with happiness, they dance in the glass.
Maybe 16-ounce Pepsi.
We're sorry about sarsaparilla.
Pepsi.
Why isn't it happy?
Pep, open it. See? Pep, open it. See? Pep, open it, I tell you, see?
Well, let me ask you.
I don't like Coke or RC, I only like Pepsi. Or Mountain Dew, better. With the cool, smooth
Mountain Dew. Pepsi, which makes Mountain Dew.
Pepsi, which makes Mountain Dew.
The autonomous Komi Republic, which is part of the Russian Federation, is situated in the far northwest of Europe and spreads up to the Arctic part of the Ural Mountains. It's crossed by 9 northern parallels. 10 fair-sized European states could be placed on its territory. Besides indigenous residents, that is, the Komi people, there are also Russians, Ukrainians, Nenets, Chuvashis, and Tartars. And now, let's go back into history a little bit. A boy lying on skins behind our backs was turning the knobs of a small transistor radio. And the tent was suddenly filled with an announcer's voice speaking Komi. Then with music from Moscow, followed by English and French speech.
The recording was made at the Moscow Theater of Musical Miniatures.
Now, back to modern times.
Your attention, please. At the recommendation of the International Time Bureau, commencing at 23 hours, 59 minutes, 60 seconds UTC, an extra second will be inserted into the NBS time scale. This adjustment is required to maintain internationally coordinated universal time as broadcast from these stations in close agreement with UT1 or astronomical time.
WA6ODB with a question.
And,
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
And about power.
Do you mean?
We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
We got so much power now. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
Power and all that. That's power. We got so much power. That's ridiculous.
We have
power, 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 power now. It's ridiculous. We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many times?
That's ridiculous. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's not even funny.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. How many time zones?
Yeah. We have 4 in this country, right?
How many time zones?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
4 in this country, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
4. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Right?
1, 2, 3. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. 4 time zones?
Yeah. We have 4 in this country, right?
No, sir.
We have.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And,
Do you know how many time zones they have?
Yes, sir. 4. No, sir. I never really studied that up.
11.
11. It's not even funny.
11.
11. That's ridiculous.
11.
11. Well, that's what we can do. We can go anywhere because we live here. We can go anywhere else.
But not only the right of free travel, I'm saying 11.
11. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Huh? 11.
11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah.
11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah, yeah, I can believe that. I'm a firm believer in that.
You're right.
1, 2, 3. 4. Yes, sir. 1, 2. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Soviet Union's the whole half side of the world.
Yeah.
And we're just a little, one little tenth of the globe.
Yeah.
They, when you talk about fighting, we're a country that we're a firm believer on Christ, and it's called help thy neighbor, do not kill, do not, you know, steal, cheat, lie from everybody. That's why we have to have computers, because man, nobody is perfect, you know? It's not even funny.
You mean?
And about power, man, nobody is perfect. You know,
so what is your point?
Nobody is perfect, you know.
So what is your point, Glenn?
There's two things you don't talk about. One's politics, and the other one's religion.
You meant
they can. The reason you don't talk about them is because they combine in each other. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't you kid yourself. Thanks, Glenn, for the. Just thanks for the good thoughts.
This concludes our transmission to Oceania. However, listeners in East Asia may continue listening on the following shortwave frequencies. 6110, 7230, 9565, 9760, 15160, and 15425 kilohertz.
I'll separate them. Damn if I know.
Here it comes.
You've been listening to Negative Land. We just heard two tracks, Time Zones and Voices Inside Your Head, both from the Sealand record label, Negative Land's own Sealand record label. We've been tracing the secret history of Sealand from World War II through today, listening to the pirate radio from the Sealand outpost that's attempted to become its own sovereign state. I'm Tom Rowe. You've been listening to This Week in Radio News from Wave Farm Radio and WGXC in upstate New York. Good night and good luck. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.